Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you. Good afternoon. I have to keep reminding myself to say good afternoon. I said good morning on every other show I've done since I took over this slot. I've got little notes to myself everywhere saying, say good afternoon, say good afternoon. So the next thing I've got to do is say good afternoon to my next guest, who is Katrina Fox. Well, long list of things that you could say about Katrina. She's a journalist, a feminist, an animal rights activist, and she calls herself a high femme lipstick lesbian. She's also editor of whatever one of those maybe, and she'll no doubt tell me. She's the editor of another online magazine rather than newspaper, and I would argue also with a slightly academic flavour to it too, though of a very different kind. It's called The Scavenger. Hello, Katrina.
Hello, Doug. It's lovely to be here.
It's nice to finally meet you in the flesh.
Absolutely.
After
I've just stepped off the plane and you're my first stop. In
How lovely, because we've sparred online for quite a long time.
We've
actually met before. Now, you used to be in the gay media as well. You used to edit Sherry, didn't you?
I did. I was a news reporter and features writer for Essex, and then I edited Sherry. I was the launch editor for a year.
Right. Yeah. But this, The Scavenger is a very different beast, isn't it? Can you
it
tell
is.
Us what it is?
Well, for one thing, it's completely unfunded. So it's a monthly online magazine. It's mostly features and commentary. It's not a breaking news site. You know, occasionally I might get a little exclusive now and then, but it's much more, about features and commentary. It's very much social justice ethos. That's a very strong aspect of it. So it's got sections on feminism and pop culture, sex, gender and sexuality diversity, which covers the whole gay, lesbian, queer angle, social justice, humans, animals and environment, health and media and technology. So I kind of decided to do a more generalist site with the aim of getting people who might not ordinarily read certain kinds of things to read them. So, for example, if I'm, you know, a feminist, I will probably go to the feminist blogosphere. Or, you know, if I'm into animal rights, I might go to the animal rights blogosphere. With The Scavenger, what I'm... I guess my aim was, and it seems to be working, is that people come along to it and, say, an animal rights activist might go to the animal rights section and read those articles, but while they're there, they'll stumble upon others. So I know one person, a middle-aged white vegetarian male, who said to me, oh, you know, I read the feminist stuff and I really enjoy reading the feminist stuff. He's not rushing off to the feminist blogosphere to read, you know, feminist articles, but he likes reading the odd thing that comes through. So I guess that's my aim. It's a very different beast to a lot of the, obviously to mainstream media and any other kind of business model. I deliberately didn't set it up with a business model. I did think about it, but because it's social justice, I'm often putting stuff out there that actually people don't want to hear. And I think with online media, that's actually quite different, because with a lot of online media, you know, like Kath said, it's about what people want and they can tailor their content, they can choose what they want to consume. In a way, I'm trying to kind of force them to look at things they don't want to consume, and it's hard to say to them, and I want you to pay for that. Which I could. I'm also pretty anti-advertising. I've actually had advertising
queries. So you've set yourself a bit of a difficult row to hoe.
It's
there,
not that I'm
you?
Anti it exactly.
So how do you pay for it?
I don't. It's unfunded and I fund it myself, so I'm not getting paid anything, so I don't pay contributors because I can't.
So it's just a labour of love thing?
It totally is. Yeah.
But it's very, very good.
People want to stone you if you discuss content in a user friendly way. But what you take a lot of very complex issues and arguments, but you somehow write in a very user friendly way that's not dumbed down, but it's just, especially when you're bogged down in feminism arguments of feminism, blah blah blah. But it's just you can engage with it very easily and understand it very easily. That's great.
Actually, I would take issue with that slightly. I have found some of the jargon that creeps into your site a bit impenetrable at times and a bit academic.
It's very mixed.
You're male.
It's very guilty. Mixed in a lot of ways. I mean, because the writers are very, I mean, some of them are professional journalists. Some are academics who do, and I try not to let them write in academies. And some of them are very kind of, you know, emerging writers or new writers. So it is a very mixed bag, absolutely. I suppose there is a certain level, like it's not completely kind of dumbed down. I don't think it's too kind of highfalutin, but there is a certain, I suppose, level of education or, you know, knowledge required.
I think, as you say, yeah, there is a variability about the quality of the writing in the articles and about the language used. It's not like there's what you might call one consistent house style or house voice like you would have in traditional media. Andrew, have you ever looked at The Scavenger?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I was looking at it just this morning, actually. Yes, it was. There was an article there about the similarities or the equivalence or interaction between human rights and animal rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that was something that when you were editor of Cherry, that you were very pro. Yeah, you were very passionate about. Mm. Is that one of the reasons why you decided to leave Cherry or left Cherry and moved into this area, because there were certain things that the label GLBTIQ wasn't sort of open to, and that might have been the A for animal on the end?
I think it was more a case of I was feeling more and more constrained in what I could and couldn't put in. One of the most popular, from the feedback that I got, one of the most popular pages was the activism page, and that included, you know, GLBTIQ activism, you know, feminism, animal rights, environmental stuff. But, you know, I was kind of told, oh, it's a dead page, it's not really an important page. By, you know, publishers. So I was feeling more and more constrained. I think they were happy for me to leave, and I was kind of, I was happy to go at the time.
Did you feel a sense of freedom when after you left that you could do those things then?
Yeah, I mean, it took me a while. I just kind of, you know, got back into just doing a bit of freelancing and, just kind of taking stock of things. And I knew I wanted to do something. I think what it did do is, particularly with the curation thing that Kath mentioned, I do actually enjoy, as well as being a writer and writing my own stuff, I do actually enjoy curating people's work. And that was one thing. And I guess I saw the potential. Yeah. At the same time, you know, I'd been reading a lot and realising, you know, that media, I had to upskill. Like, I'm an old school print journalist and, you know, I didn't know anything about Joomla and the webs and all this kind of thing. So I kind of went off and did some courses. So it was actually kind of quite useful for me. It kind of gave me a bit of a renewed interest. Mm. And I actually consume most of my media. I don't buy newspapers anymore. I don't even buy magazines. Mm. I consume pretty much all my media online. And now I've got an iPad. You know,
it's even easier than it was before.
The interesting thing about iPads and double tablets, let's be kind to all the brands.
Yes.
Let's not advertise. They haven't paid for it.
As I said before, owners of tablets don't want a traditional web browser experience. And by that, I mean they don't want to view anything in Mozilla or Firefox or Explorer.
They want it through an app.
So you have to kind of give them different formats of content. So you used to, even on online, get away with video, image and copy content, text. Mm. But now you have to introduce data visualization and infographics. Now, Huffington Post have just employed their very first infographic journalist, which has legitimized that as a form of journalism. For anyone who doesn't know what it is, it's those really fantastic, cool visual representations of a little bit of text, people here. I think Hungry Beast does it really well on TV. And that's perfectly optimized to view on an iPad. That's the kind of thing people want to show people on iPads and share. And sometimes if you have 1,000 words of something really complex, it's much better to show them on an infographic.
It's hard work to read a lot of text online, whatever the format is, whether it's a computer screen, whether it's a web browser, whether it's a... And certainly if it's on a phone, that... I just want to come back very slightly in this conversation, because you made that crack about, you know, that I don't understand this website because I'm a bloke. I just wanted to pick up on that slightly because... No, it's not festering with me, but it does raise an interesting point in that I know three very good female journalists. There's you two, and there's Cathy Anderson, and you've all moved out of gay media, and you're all working in much more mainstream jobs nowadays, and very happy to do so, whereas a lot of us blokes who are in the gay media stay in the gay media. Is that because there isn't as much space for lesbian writers within the gay media as there ought to be? I mean, I know it's a... I know I used to have this argument all the time when I was editing Melbourne Star, you know, how much space should we give to the women? Which is a very patronising way of putting it. Mm. But that's the way it worked, because the majority of people who picked up our paper were gay men, and therefore the space for women was kind of pushed into a corner. But I'm interested in the fact that, you know, you've moved out of gay media and you haven't, for example, started up your own gay publications or got together to produce a gay
publication. I don't think there's room, to be honest. I mean, America can't handle two mainstream lesbian magazines. Mm-hmm. When Girlfriends, you know, went under, there was all kinds of dramas going on. So I don't think, with a population as big as America, you know, I don't think it necessarily is sustainable, particularly with print and all the associated costs.
That's true, because print's expensive.
I also think, you know, the wonderful thing, and I think this about gay organisations like Queer Film, I think it about the publishing industry, I think it about organisations like Midsummer, they are these, it's one of these wonderful examples of affirmative opportunity in the sense that, affirmative action, in the sense that these are platforms that give gay people a break in this world kind of thing. So for me to get a jack of all trades experience in publishing, edit a gay rag on smell of an oil rag on an oil a gay rag on the smell of an oil rag. You know where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah.
But run a gay organisation with not enough money. Be the director of a queer film festival. You know what I mean. And then go on to bigger things. So I think it's these kind of roles are wonderful opportunities for, you know, it's positive discrimination. It's wonderful opportunities for us to get experience in these roles and then go on to the wider world. So that I don't want to stay in that role forever, because there's 1,000 talented girls behind me that want an opportunity to do that. So I think that there's...
I agree with Kath. I also think there is an element, or there has been traditionally an element of, I'm loath to say it, kind of, not really catering for women. And, you know, gay men have been the traditional market and lesbians have sort of been, you know, kind of...
A bit of an add-on.
Yes. I think there has been an element of that.
And trans people feel the same way bisexuals feel the same way. I mean, you know, gay men do tend to have monopolised... somewhat.
No, we don't.
I think also...
I haven't said a word.
You're not monopolising the conversation.
I'm too scared. It's a terrible generalisation to throw out, but I think... here I go, the switchboard will light up. But I think gay men tend to feel happier immersed in that world all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Like, what world?
Do you know what I mean? There's no... Girls don't need to turn on Grindr. I don't know if girls want to turn on Grindr. They probably do. I don't know. We don't, you know, a Grindette. We don't. No, do you mean, I kind of get the feeling that a lot of gay men like to immerse themselves in that a bit more consistently.
Well, you've got a fan here who likes what you're saying anyway. I love Kath Pope on the wireless, intelligent and a joy to listen to, says Pete.
Thanks, Mum.
We always like to salt the mine with a few compliments when we... No, it just always interests me that, you know, we glue together this thing called GLBTIQ and we use this horrible portmanteau acronym to glue everybody together when, in fact, a lot of us don't have a lot in common with the rest of us, and it's more like a marriage of convenience thing. And it's interesting that as I say, people like you and Kathy Anderson and Katrina have gone out and used it as a springboard to make a career for yourselves out in the big wide world, if I can put it that way, and done very well with it.
Well, I would say these two people are examples of how lesbians are represented in the gay press and have gone on, as well as Kathy Anderson.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
All right. We let you get a word.
For the record, Your Honour.
We let you get a word in.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.